Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Rambles. It's Anita. I know I usually do my shows on Sunday, but I was out. And yesterday I had a meeting with a last minute customer. So I was like, okay, so I did it today, but I would like to get back on my Sunday schedule for my show. And thank you guys for listening. And yeah, this is a morbid title, Dead Queen, but you can say it's direct. For those of you who have been living under a rock, last Thursday, which was also Madonna's birthday, Aretha Franklin died. It was a weird thing because everybody was like, thoughts and prayers on Monday, and then by Thursday morning, it was like, she's dead. Like, wow. And it was a very interesting dynamic because she was old. And I'm not being mean when I say it, but her first album came out when my mom was like 2 or 3. I mean, it was recorded when she was 14. According to Wikipedia, it was Songs of Faith, and it was a gospel album in 1956. And for those of you who don't know, she also worked with Columbia Records in the 60s before going to Atlantic, where she became the Aretha we know and love and revere today. But dying, she had cancer. She had cancer for years. She was 76. Yes, it was sad. It was like, almost everybody grew up having heard one Aretha Franklin song. There was Respect, which, by the way, was a remake. Chain of Fools, her whole 30th greatest hits, you know, being in the car with your mom or dad, or hearing it on Saturday cleaning, which I prefer cleaning on Sunday, it's more peaceful. But that was the childhood, going over my mom's first cousins and listening to the records playing, having a copy of her gospel albums. That was part of my life. And it was also more my mom's soundtrack because when she was of record buying age, she had her collection of it. And that was part of it. I'm not being sad, but I'm not confused about it. It's an effect on my life. I mean, her version of I Say a Little Prayer is very interesting because Dionne Warwick did it first, and being the true diva Aretha Franklin is, she had beef with everybody. The Patti LaBelle thing, the beautiful gowns comment about Taylor Swift, beautiful gowns, beautiful, like that wasn't a lie. And not being Whitney Houston's godmother when Dionne Warwick said that. Yeah, but much like, and I know this is going to be considered blasphemous, but much like Kanye West, she had the talent to back up her diva-ness. You know, you've been in the business for like 60 years. You can perform, write songs, play an instrument, because everybody forgets she was a great piano player. Like, everybody's like, Queen of Soul, Queen. She's also a wonderful piano player. She was also a songwriter. Like, you guys are just going to diminish those things when talking about her. So, I'm going to talk about those. Yes, when she was with Columbia, she was almost marketed as, oddly enough, Alicia Keys. Because, backstory with Alicia. Alicia used to be signed to Columbia Records back in the 90s. They wanted her to be more of a pop star, but she was a piano prodigy. So she got dropped from Sony, Columbia, Sony, whatever. And then she ended up on J Records, where Clive Davis took her under his wing. You know, she was his protege, and then Songs of Aina, which is going to be 20 in a few years, which I'm like, oh my goodness, I was, that was the summer before I started college. Oh my God. But same thing with Columbia. They wanted to market Aretha as some, like, we making Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Billie Holiday songs, and she's singing, but it was covers. And yeah, she was playing the piano, but it was covers. Much like with one of Marvin Gaye's first albums, you know. Yeah, he did Sexual Heat, and he worked with Tammy Terrell, but his album was covers of Nat King Cole. And I love Nat King Cole. I get made fun of it because the man died like 20 years before I was born. But no, I'm glad she went to Atlantic, because they knew how to market her. She became the woman that the soundtrack. You know, every woman has wanted to sing Natural Woman. It doesn't matter if you were a cis or you were everybody's had that moment where they were like, look, I'm going to start singing some Natural Woman. I'm going to have my days when I'm going to be singing. I never loved a man the way I look. I've never gotten to that point. Well, I've lip-synced it in the shower. I have my pride. I have heard my share of Do Right Woman, Do Right Man. I have heard Kanye, yes, I'm going back to Kanye West, Footsteps in the Dark. Yeah, Kanye sampled that song. Her albums have been listed under the 500 greatest albums of all time and one of the 1001 albums. But who cares about the records? It's the soundtrack of it, you know. That's our soundtrack. And I will admit, there are some Aretha songs I do not like. And yes, it sounds blasphemous. Her version of Eleanor Rigby, the Beatles had kept the, it was more of an emo song. And I know it was an emo song before emo was a thing. But her version, it was, I don't think it was meant to be a gospel song. Like, I look, but now, no. Mm-mm. It should have kept the emo vibe. Because if you've ever listened to Eleanor Rigby, her version, I'm like, doesn't need to be a gospel song. Oh. Ain't no way. That's another, you know, crying, you know, everybody's had that day when it's like, I don't, there's no way I can do this. No. And her sister wrote it, by the way. Her sister Carolyn and her sister Irma originally did that Janis, Peace of My Heart. Everybody forgets it because Janis Joplin, like, everybody knows the Janis Joplin version. But yes, Irma did it first. But nobody cares about the version Irma did, which is a shame, but it's true, because everybody thinks Janis Joplin, but no. Oh. Other songs? Okay, Seesaw and Think. Now I have that earworm in my head. Okay, and it was Spirit in the Dark. Oh, and Don't Play Their Song. She wrote Spirit in the Dark. Cool. Don't Play That Song for Me, which, yeah, I saw Mariah's version when she was first starting out on YouTube. It wasn't bad, but everybody knows the Aretha version, and at least she had the vocal talent to attempt it, because some people are like, you know, you want the holy water. And she was like 19, but again, she had the talent. Okay, and it was School Spirit by Kanye West on his College Dropout album that sampled Spirit in the Dark. So I apologize. That was the song Spirit in the Dark. I'm not sure who's going to be performing at Aretha Franklin's funeral. Don't mess it up. By the way, I didn't even want to hear Ariana Grande sing Natural. It's like, no. She has a great voice, but It's not a raised in gospel kind of voice. Also, Aretha dying made me think of Quincy Jones finally leaving. And I know he's older than Aretha by like 9 years, but still. I'm not ready for Quincy to go. Yeah, okay, he's old, but he's worked with everybody. Another one, we got to keep Stevie. Diana Ross, when she goes, I don't have a lot of her stuff, but again, that's like a soundtrack to every child of a baby boomer. And baby boomers, for those who don't know, I'm going to give an explanatory comma. People who were born from like 46 to some say 64. So this was their soundtrack when they were starting college and falling in love and having their first heartbreak. And then when my generation or some of the Gen Xers were born, mama's having a bad day. Let me listen to Bridge Over Troubled Waters, the Aretha version, not the Simon and Garfunkel. But it's different listening to Aretha's version of a song. Oh, and then when she worked with Lauryn Hill, for A Rose Is Still a Rose, and I think my mom had that album, but it was written and produced by Lauryn Hill. So Lauryn Hill did work with some influential, and she is an influential person, but I'm not sure when her new album's coming out. I made peace with that album. Probably won't be out until my grandkid starts college or graduates. I've made peace with that. But another topic, another day. So, yes, that was a bonding thing, because I will say, bio mom had really great taste in music sometimes. Other times, we had the Irish folk songs around that just confused me, and a Patti Smith country. But at the same time, she's also the person who got me into listening to Shania Twain. And she did have her Motown collection. Little known fact, Aretha almost signed with Motown, but it wasn't the Motown that of today. This was the Motown just starting out. So that's why that was another reason she went with Columbia back in the day, because it was more stable. And I get why her dad made that decision. So another song, You're All I Need to Get By. So many versions. And Scandal Watchers, no. Don't read the version. I also remember the Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell version. I also enjoyed Method Man, Mary J. Blige. I'll Be There, / You're All I Need to Get By. Who didn't know that one? Now, I really didn't know the Johnny Mathis, Denise Williams version, but anyway, I'm not sure who does know that version. I just got the 90-second mark. Call Me? I really didn't listen to that one. Son of a Preacher Man. Wow. But, again, it's weird that she's, like, diva. One of the alpha divas. Like, there aren't a lot of alpha divas. Because, let's face it, that phrase has been overused. Or the mega divas. Like, there's Aretha, Barbara, Cher, Tina. But, you know, still doing her own thing. Diana Ross, Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle, Bette Midler. And when they go, and sometimes Liza Minnelli, you know, she's an EGOT winner, for those who don't know, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. But Liza's Liza, you know. But there aren't any alphas left who came from the 60s and were still influencing now. And Madonna came out in the 80s. So she's mega diva. And maybe in a few years she will get to that level. She has some great songs. But who knows? And it's funny that Aretha died on her birthday. But anyway, irony, funny. Anyway, I'm Anita. This is Rambles. Thank you for listening. Bye.